even want to know what we were just talking about. And sometimes when I say that, it's designed to make you wonder what we were talking about because you really do want to know. Right now, I mean it, though. Now, I'm not speaking ironically. You really don't want to know. You don't want to know the discussion of the various and relative sizes of Paris Hilton's areas. That's a whole lot of garage for one car. All right. Hello. It's 1 minute and 14 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of August in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Today, that illusion gets shattered just a little bit further when Peter Carlin comes by from the Oregonian to be in studio with us to once again be holding gander at the relative smallness of the space from which we broadcast this excellence every day and so forth. So that's going to be coming. He'll be here 2 o'clock hour. Peter Ames Carlin, who, when he's on the Oregonian today, he's got some sort of back and forth going on with Bill O'Reilly, which I don't really know about because I don't really read the paper, ever. And I'll do this thing sometimes when Peter's going to be on. Well, I'll go to OregonLive.com and I will search the phrase Peter Ames Carlin and then just quickly scan the article so I can pretend that I've been reading with rapt attention all of his writings. I really haven't been. It should go without saying, nor do I watch the O'Reilly Factor. But apparently, Peter Carlin, Bill O'Reilly got some mano a mano, some... What is that, a tete-a-tete? Is that what that is? They have a thing. There's a thing going on between Peter Carlin and Bill O'Reilly. We'll find out about that later on. What else? Well, we'll bring on Mailman Chris here in a moment. You got to take that picture off the screen. It's freaking me out.
I'm trying to decide whether or not I should post it. I think I'm going to post a link to it.
Yeah. Why would you suddenly develop a sense of decency at this very moment?
Because that's wrong. I don't...
We'll explain what we're talking about here in just a second. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com if you'd like to engage with us electronically today with your comments, clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. Before we go any further, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show mailman, Chris, official stenographer for the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy. How are you, sir? How was your weekend?
It was good, and I am both fine and dandy today. Thanks for asking.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. So I'm going to roll out the long list of things that I'm going to endeavor to get to during today's radio program. I will then, at the end of the program, bring you back on. We will find out which of those things I teased and got to, which of those things I teased and did not get to. And I will push up to the Rick Emerson Collective in the person of Sarah Dillon for each item not gotten to. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
All right. Today we're going to get to... Now, this is according to Tim here. We have a... Is this a single or a double Britney watch?
Double.
All right. Has anybody seen the video of Britney Spears on YouTube? Everyone?
I have not. I was busy watching V for Vendetta this week.
Man, me too. Did we all watch V for Vendetta?
And fantasizing that... And hoping that Bill O'Reilly would have been one of his victims.
That's Tim Riley who said that right there. That's probably a function of your DVD player. What kind of DVD player? Is it new?
A really old, crappy one.
No, that's exactly what it is. You do anything that's... Not that we have a burned copy of V for... That would be wrong.
Oh.
No,
we all just happen to be watching.
No, I will...
And not that the caller knows anything we're talking about, right,
not
Chris?
Not that Chris knows anything about that.
Prank caller.
Thank you. No, I will be purchasing it. I will go out and I will spend my hard-earned shekels on a copy of Beaver and Dedda, because it's a fantastic movie. I'm not going to go on about it now. I will wait and I'll do it later, but I will say that... I will say that I spent a lot of this weekend on the couch, sitting there with the Cheetos in one hand and remote control in the other, fancying myself a revolutionary.
Yep.
So we'll talk more about that. Britney watch coming up. Cannibal watch coming up. Job watch today. Religious nutcase watch. CNN radio correspondent Ninette Sosa will be joining us from Jerusalem. What else? Peter Carlin will be in studio later on today, and we will endeavor to get to It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. That is all on the way. At the end of today's program, I will owe a push-up for each item not gotten to. And how many do I currently owe, Chris?
29.
Jesus God Almighty. This is not even right. I'm either going to have to kill myself or I'm going to be incredibly fit at the end of this whole thing. All right, have you got that list?
I do. We have a double Britney watch, Cannibal watch, Job watch, the religious nutcase, Annette Sosa, Peter Ames Carlin, and the worst song ever.
Fantastic. We will get to those things later on today, or I will have a push-up for each. Oh, and Scotty, is Bob Costantini, is he booked? Because you can never tell with that guy. Sometimes you think you're going to have him, and then he bails on it. Okay, Bob Costantini. All right, thank you, Chris. We'll check in with you around 2:55 or so.
Will do.
All right, thank you. Because, of course, as of last week, there's now 4.4% more Rick Emerson Show every day. All right, we're here today, as are we always, with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
You all right? You're a little sweaty.
I am kind of sweaty today. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
I don't know. You're very moist.
I haven't... Moist is an unpleasant word.
And my goal is to just gross him out today.
Yeah, that's already been accomplished.
I know.
I believe so, yes.
Big pictures. Paris Hilton's butt flap.
That barn door has been closed on the horse's tail.
Speaking of barn doors.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was a reference to the... Okay. Let's all stop. Can you turn off the Leicas? Yeah, we're getting that hit, the satellite. I can remember to do that every day. All right. And so here's Sarah. I'm not going to say anything except to say that just now you missed Sarah with her face about an inch away from her computer monitor, staring really, really closely at a picture of pink.
No, I was trying to find what the website is that it came from because I can't link to this.
Ah, I see.
But it's so small, it's written in such tiny letters.
If you're big fans of Sarah X. Dillon's blog, which you should be, you can go to sarahxdillon.com or sarahxdillon.blogspot.com. Now, here's the interesting conversation. I promised that I would get to this. I don't want to be a tease about this. I promised that I would explain this. So moments before the program, as is always the case, there was this conversation of extreme inanity happening here in the control room. And basically, here's what it is. If you go to Sarah Dillon's webpage today. You had the Britney video last week, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. You got to watch that Britney video because she's... Now, that's from some time ago, it looks like. It looks like that's before she even had the kid.
Yeah, a lot of people think that it might be from when she was filming that horrible TV show.
She's flat-out nutty.
Yeah.
She comes off as not only nutty, but you understand when you watch that Britney Spears video, which, again, you can see in Sarah Dillon's blog, you understand why people have handlers and why people have a whole cadre of folks around them whose sole job is to isolate them from the press and to prevent them from speaking or talking. Tom Cruise had some of those for a while. Then he got rid of them and it all went south. So it is with you, and you can see sort of retrospectively now how that's the only reason any of us ever found Britney Spears hot. Think about this, actually. Think about Britney Spears. Think about how when she was like in the nascent stages of her career, when she was sort of on the rise, which would have been... Well, like 2000, 2001, like those couple of years when she was doing like The Baby One More Time and You Drive Me Crazy and that whole Britney Spears era. Think about how little you actually ever heard her speak. It's kind of sad in a way. It really was like us just come to life. You know what I mean? Where we all found her hot because she didn't talk. She would sing a little bit, but of course that didn't sound anything like her actual speaking voice. And when she's singing, when she's singing, she was just singing a bunch of "I want to come over to your house and do you" songs. She wasn't actually having any conversation with us, so she really was just standing there looking pretty and jiggling occasionally. She really wasn't speaking her alleged thoughts. As soon as she started to do that, that's when she started to become unattractive. And if you want any proof of that, you go to Sarah's blog and watch this video of Britney Spears where she's just babbling on inanely. I don't know whether she's high or whether she's just deeply, deeply freaking stupid. It's one of the two. Anyway, so for today's SarahXDillon.com update, Sarah has posted a picture of Paris Hilton in which we're speaking now journalistically as we now enter the the AM 970, the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. She has posted this picture of Paris Hilton. Now, I don't know what's wrong with Paris Hilton's butt. But there is something wrong with it is beyond doubt now. I don't know what this object is attached to the back of her. It's some huge fleshy carbuncle-like object. At least, let me put it this way. I hope it's part of her butt, because if not... Maybe she and Ann Coulter have more in common than we know. Maybe they've just been swapping parts. There's a whole lot of extra flesh there. And it's... I don't want to go on any further about it. I just encourage you to go look at the photograph. And it's like that picture. Was it Naomi Campbell? With the armpit?
Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks? You all remember that photo of Tyra Banks where you look at her armpit and it's one of those things that if it were cropped and taken out of context, you'd think you were looking at something a whole lot different. It's all very unpleasant. But so Sarah has posted this horrible picture of Paris Hilton, and by horrible I mean horrible and also great. And yet you found a picture of Pink... relieving herself outdoors, right on a shrub or something. And yet you won't post that because that's offensive, because that's wrong. So you'll post this picture of Paris Hilton who has extra skin in her private area. It's just sort of loosely hanging there. And yet you won't post a picture of Pink engaging in an activity that's perfectly normal and natural. Ugh. Because that, of course, is sick.
Not barefoot in a parking lot.
Okay.
Ugh.
Barefoot and peeing. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Tom Cruise must take a pay cut. Mel Gibson is a wonderful human being, says Patrick Swayze. Bed bugs bite back. And Britney will launch your own magazine.
Okay. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Nanette Sosa is going to be talking to us. Bob Costantini, Peter Ames Carlin will be in the studio, and so forth. Well, let's not dilly-dally any further, kids. Ladies and gentlemen, please make way for your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson New News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Well, Senator Christopher Dodd believes Iraq is now in a civil war on Face the Nation. The Democrat from Connecticut says 100 violent deaths a day, tens of thousands of deaths in Iraq in the past 4 months, and 182,000 have been relocated.
More than 2,500 of our men and women in uniform have lost their lives. More than 18,000 injured, and the numbers keep escalating here. I can't in good conscience face a family in Connecticut and say to them, send your sons and daughters there because they're going to be a referee in a civil war.
Meanwhile, a Republican from Nebraska, Chuck Nagel, says any more troops into the Iraqi capital won't stem the rising sectarian violence there.
The fate of Iraq will be determined by the Iraqi people, not the United States. We have been there 3.5 years. And the fact is, last month, July, was the worst month in those 3.5 years, measured by any measurement you care to measure.
You can tell the midterms are coming up. They're just distancing themselves. You know what it is? You know what George W. Bush is? George W. Bush is like that guy who comes to work with too much cologne on, and you get stuck working next to him, or you're in the elevator or something with him, and you try to back as far away as possible because you don't want his stink all over you. You know what it is? Have you ever had this happen? Have you ever worked with a woman who wore a lot of perfume, just lots? And just like way too much. It's just a whole lot of perfumey stink just coming off her in waves. And you're afraid to stand too close to her, get too next to her, because then you're going to go home and you're going to reek of a strange perfume. And so you're just walking around all day, trying not to get stuck in an elevator, because then you're going to go home smelling of Chanel No. 5 or something. That's what George W. Bush is. Everybody, he's got the stink of death on him, and everybody's trying to avoid that, because otherwise they're going to get hosed come November.
Ongoing violence in the Middle East is symbolic of a wider battle between moderation and extremism, according to the State Department, whatever that means.
You do have those forces of extremism who want to stop any progress, advancement of democracy and freedom throughout the region. They want to take the region back to a darker, less progressive time.
That's not Tony Snow, is it?
No, that's another State Department guy who is not being identified.
Some other guy. They want to take it back to that happy, peaceful time that used to exist in Iraq, when everything was sunshine and daisies and flowers and buttercups.
Well, you're ready for oil prices to go through the roof again. BP says it's closing down the Prudhoe Bay field in Alaska after discovering a small pipeline spill in a move that'll slash production by 400,000 barrels a day. This is like one of the biggest oil fields anywhere. So we'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, Tom Cruise has joined the ranks of the unemployed. The Hollywood studio that bankrolls his films is not backing any more movies until he agrees to a significant pay cut. The 44-year-old actor is eager to get back to work after such disappointments as Mission Impossible 3. But last week, his 13-year deal with Paramount Studio was allowed to lapse. A financial adjustment and reality check must be put into place before
financial
he continues
adjustment.
A illustrious career.
That's like one of those, when they're doing a little streamlining there. Well, he's no longer, even before this whole thing happened with him going crazy, I think he stopped being a guy that everybody felt they had to see the new movie from. I think he stopped being, he can still open, as they say. Mm-hmm. But there's certain people you're like, I gotta go see the new film from there's certain people that no matter what they do, you will go see their new film. Will Ferrell's a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm. Because of that Talladega Nights, which Larson was not impressed by it all. She said it was, she had very mixed feelings about it. But he's a guy that everybody will go see just simply because his name is on the marquee. And Tom Cruise, I believe, he's not leaving that era of his career. I can't remember the last time I went to see a film simply because, and the problem is, here's the problem, the larger problem with Tom Cruise, and this is where we were talking about that taint earlier, like with George Bush, and he's a stink of political death all over him. The problem is,
when you try to go back and watch a movie that you love now, and you're like retrospectively seeing it through the eyes of the crazy Tom Cruise, and it kind of ruins the film for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking about, Sarah and I were talking about The American President, which is an Aaron Sorkin film, which in turn reminded me of A Few Good Men, which Aaron Sorkin also wrote. And I'm like the world's biggest Aaron Sorkin fan. And A Few Good Men was on TV the other day, which is a fantastic movie. But, you know, it was a Pulitzer Prize winning play and all that. But you watch Tom Cruise now, and it's like, it takes you out of the film because you just, it's like watching, when's the last time anybody tried to watch The Naked Gun? And then every time O.J. Simpson comes on the screen, you just feel awkward mm-hmm. about it. I was reading the list of the other day of movies that O.J. Simpson is in. Towering Inferno, Naked Gun 1, Naked Gun 2, he's in, is O.J. Simpson in Roots? Am I remembering correctly?
He must have been every African-American actor.
Every black actor in Hollywood. You watch, they all just got the, well, LeVar Burton, and then what's his name? John Amos, who was from Good Times, I think, is also in that. And I believe O.J. Simpson had a role in that as well. But it's like you can never go back and watch Naked Gun now, because every time he comes on the screen, that's all you can focus on is freaking O.J. Simpson. James Cameron dodged a bullet, by the way, because O.J. Simpson, believe it or not, he was supposed to be the Terminator. He was the original. He was the guy who they originally cast as the Terminator in all of those films. But, man, Tom Cruise, it's difficult to watch those now because the crazy vibes just come off the screen for that guy.
Patrick Swayze has joined what's called here several of Mel Gibson's celebrity friends in defending the actor. Gibson is, quote, a wonderful human being, unquote.
Uh-huh.
Swayze tells Good Morning America, I guess, in an interview.
This is the best they can do, is Patrick Swayze. This is, you know what this is, too. This is the net result of the publicist being on the phone all week and calling everybody in their Rolodex, emailing everybody in their black book, everybody in their address book, trying to drum up support, trying to pound the pavement to see who they can get to come out and tout the virtues of Mel Gibson. And at the end of the day, they come up with Patrick Swayze right there. That tells you everything you need to know about this case.
So he's downplayed his friend's drinking outburst, telling television that people say stupid things when they have a few, and especially if they don't drink anymore.
Uh-huh.
Or have, if you've limited your drinking for a long period of time, and all of a sudden you decide to have one too many with the boys, you are stupid.
Okay, I can count on zero fingers the number of times I've been at a poker game or anywhere where somebody has one too many and then begins ranting about how the Jews are responsible for everything that goes wrong in the world. That never happens at the places I go to. You know why? Because I don't hang out with anti-Semites. I could give Sarah five bottles of vodka intravenously today, and that would never happen. No, I know, because as they always say, it's you, whenever you get drunk, it's the real person sort of comes out. Don't believe this fiction that people do things when they're drunk that they would it is true that they do things they would probably never do under normal circumstances, but that's not at all the same thing as saying they do things that they don't really believe. On the contrary, I believe the drunker somebody gets, the more you are likely to hear exactly the unvarnished real them. That's why Sarah's only nice to me when she's drunk.
And that's why you say stay sober all the time.
It's completely true. Let's see. What? Hello, Mike?
Yay.
Hey.
You know, I always thought the Scientologists were behind all the evil in the world, but I guess I was wrong.
I'm sorry?
The Scientologists behind the evil. It's not
that's Mike in Portland who's saying that.
We all know it. I forgot Ben Vereen, man, in Roots.
Can I just tell you this? Look, I know this makes me a bad American, but I've never seen Roots.
Oh, it's the best. Ben Vereen is Chicken George. You can't write a better character.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Isn't it like an 80-hour movie?
It was like, I think it ran over a week, so probably at least 10 hours.
Tim,
but
you probably watched
it. I was like 10 years old when it came on, so
it
was so good.
All I know is it has Geordi from Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's right. He was the young Kunta Kinte.
Yeah, that's LeVar
Burton. John Amos was the older with the no-foot habit. Yeah.
John Amos, man, that guy's a great actor. That's a guy who needs a star vehicle. Even now, I mean, he's got to be like 60 or something, because he was the dad on Good Times, and then they killed him off after the first season. And then he was Commander What's-His-Guts on the West Wing.
And of course, too, you can't forget Coming to America, you know, owner of McDowell's. That should have been his breakout role.
John Amos, really?
Yeah.
I gotta see Coming to America again. It's been a long time.
One of the best movies ever.
Wiper! All right. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
I gotta go, bro. Take it easy.
Okay, there you go.
And he's not to be confused with John Stamos.
No. John Amos is not drumming for the Beach Boys. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Double Britney Watch.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It'll keep you from doing one extra push-up.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Britney watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I think I did it again.
That's genius.
Britney Spears is considering launching her own magazine to set the record straight about the stars of Hollywood.
Fantastic.
Her husband, Kevin Federline, has revealed he and his wife are in a publishing venture which would be called The Real, R-E-A-L, and would aim to counter fallacious stories about the gossiping press.
Okay.
It's not just us. You know it is. Everyone has been lied about in the tabloids, says Kevin. Part two. The Britney Spears video that we talked about most recently that has surfaced on YouTube has caused quite a stir in the gossip world. The pregnant Pop-Tart is under fire for the steamy amateur video clip that has allegedly been filmed by her husband, Kevin Federline.
Are we talking about the same video clip?
A different one.
Is this the one where she's sitting there like...
babbling into her.
Babbling and like shoving food
the
into
the clip shows an unscripted Spears doing, well, nothing. Britney simply rants, hits a table a few times and eats. It's really quite disturbing.
No, and she's like shoving like a quesadilla or something into her mouth. She's got like some... I mean, to be fair, Britney's acting sort of like a normal person, but that's the thing. Is it's like you raise the bar so high with somebody like her, where when you see her just acting like everybody else does, which is sitting around with greasy hair, eating food out of a plastic tub with her hands, that it just the horror of that is exponential, because you know. It's like when you see a Cameron Diaz on a high-definition television screen, you know what I mean? And that's just, man's like a lunar landing surface or something. You're just not used to it because all you're used to is the... It's like when you go back and you look at those airbrushed, flawless Britney photos, like all those Rolling Stone photos she did. She really is like this generation's Anna Nicole in terms of before and after. You know, gone from flawless to just completely and utterly horrifying on every level within just a few short years. Is that it?
Britney appears to be out of her mind.
Yes. Okay, there you go. There's your Britney watch for Monday.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
One of Scotty J's trademark 9-hour sound bites. Oh, God damn. Oh, that's funny.
He should be the valedictorian of his graduating class for that.
It's true. Has he already graduated? Is he done?
Is there a ceremony?
I don't know. Is there a thing they do where it's like they get,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
And like magic, he appears. Let's all welcome to the Rick Emerson Show intern, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are all you right. guys?
I think it's a special day today.
It is a very special day.
It is. Would you like to tell the people why today is a very special occasion, Scotty J?
No, I wouldn't, because things have just gotten off on the wrong foot all day today.
How have things gotten off on the wrong foot, except that you forgot your key, you were locked out, you didn't bring your computer, all of your equipment and sound bites are not here, you have to hire a guy to break into your own van, I believe, because everything you own is locked inside.
That's right.
Have I missed anything?
Yes, I spilled coffee on my shirt.
Wait, let me see. Oh, yeah, way to go. And it's a white t-shirt, of course. Fantastic. Well done.
Good day today.
So, I guess we should just say happy birthday,
well,
Scotty J.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
How old are you, Scotty?
I'm 29.
Mm-hmm.
That's like old timers are sitting in.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, now only Tim and I are shaving years right now.
That's right.
So now can we reveal how old you are?
I guess.
We should see if anybody wants to guess. If anybody's been paying careful attention to the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll see if anybody
we need to figure out something to do for his birthday.
Well, here's the thing.
Because I wanted to hire him a stripper, but I don't even know where to get one.
And I completely forgot that it was your birthday because I don't really care all that much. I'm just saying it's...
Nor do I on this one.
He's
already having a bad day.
I'm just saying I don't really keep track of birthdays the way that most people do. Most people are really... Women, I think. And somebody like Sarah, you keep really careful track of that kind of stuff.
I do?
Well, we were talking... This is the same part of your personality that sends thank you notes. And it's just like a part of... It's like something in your brain that I don't have.
That mom instilled.
It's totally like... You've got this kind of weird... I don't know if it's from your mom, your dad, or whatever. You've got this mismanners streak to you that I just don't have and have never had. I'm just, so I forget anniversaries, I forget birthdays, I forget important occasions all the time. So I knew in some part of my brain.
They put them on the doorstop that keeps the door open to the office.
Well, there is an inter-office thing they put up saying, birthdays in August. And then they list, but of course you're not on there.
Right, plus you have to look at it every single day to figure out whose birthday it is anyways.
And so, but I knew somehow that it was your birthday because I know a couple weeks ago, what was it you couldn't go to? You couldn't go to something.
Well, I was doing the Rockfest thing, and
there was some event happening that you weren't able to go to, though, because it was your birthday.
Was there something going on this weekend?
No, it was like a couple Saturdays ago. What was happening a couple Saturdays ago that we were doing that you couldn't go to?
Oh, well, I had a party this Saturday, right? The other day, a couple days ago.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter now, but I'm saying there was something we did a couple, was it a concert? Was it a show or something a couple weekends ago?
I remember that.
Anyway, you're like, well, I can't go because it's a birthday party, and yet I know it wasn't your actual birthday because that's today. Anyway, so Sarah and I have gotten you nothing.
Excellent.
And Sarah suggested getting a stripper, but then I realized that I don't even know where one gets a stripper at this point because we don't know Betsy anymore. She's kind of drifted away.
Yeah.
I get the feeling you could pay any number of people in the office a little bit and they'd take care of that for you, but that's...
My friend's baby mama's a stripper.
Totally.
Did you really just say that? Your friend's baby mama? What friend?
That's what she is.
Who?
Oh, I'd rather not say. She's not a good girl.
Well, she's a stripper. How secret could it be?
Well, his
guys
mother,
can see her boobs for a dollar.
His mother actually just found out. He had told his mom that she was a go-go dancer.
And she's a burlesque dancer.
Yeah.
She sings in a cabaret, mother. You'd love her. Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Robert.
Hi, Robert. How are you today?
Are we guessing Scotty's birthday?
Yes. It's like guessing someone's weight, only not. How old is Scotty J?
The big 40.
Well done. Good. Congratulations, sir.
Oh, that was
excellent.
Tough.
Yeah. So they're 40 years. I know that. Are birthdays like anniversaries where it's like year one is paper and year two is wood or something and year five is bronze? Is there a known present for when you turn 40?
Well, I'm totally wood. That's right.
Just be quiet. Just stand there. Don't talk.
We need to do something with
I'm totally wood.
We need to do something with the 40-year-old intern.
Yes. Oh, it's like the 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So what is it, what does a 40-year-old get, Robert?
A stripper. I thought you were buying him a new van for his wedding gig, whatever it is.
No, is it true that you have to have a locksmith come?
It is true.
Explain what happened.
What happened is had a party this weekend and was in a hurry and had some friends helping me. And when we were cleaning up before the party started, we had him take all the leftover boxes and my computer bag and all the stuff back out to the van, if you will. And there's a lock on it, and we locked it, and the keys are actually in the computer bag. So
that's fantastic. So they're not just inside the van; they're actually sealed in a small container deep inside the van. That's great.
We were talking last week that every time you do one of these things, you end up spending more money than you actually make.
That's why DJ gigs. I mean, it's like, and you can feel your soul just withering away with every year that you do this for a living.
Well, another thing about it is it's painful, and as you get older, to have to lift all these huge speakers and roll in all this equipment, it really starts.
And you're not getting any younger, Scotty J.
That's right.
Rick, he's having a hard time today.
Do you find yourself making this noise a lot when you lift, like, when you're trying to, like, lift up a speaker?
Yes.
All right. Rick Emerson Show, who is this?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
We're picking up the calls on screen because Scotty's in here right now. What's up?
Geez.
What do you got?
Wow, I was just going to tell Scotty there that generally tow trucks are about half the cost of a locksmith for breaking into your car.
So a tow truck, so you could pay less for a tow. Now, do tow trucks, do they do that? Do they do lock opening services?
Yeah, most of them do.
All right, well, there you go.
They would have to pick
for like $25. Locksmith.
Wait,
like 50 or 60.
Yeah. So it's actually padlocked? I don't understand.
Well, it's...
Oh,
it's,
well, they don't do
I
that.
I have a door.
Yeah, no.
I have a door in the back, and that's the only way to get in, and it's padlocked.
You don't have... I don't understand. How do you get into the van to drive it?
It's not.
Is this like the Buffalo Bill van, or?
Yes.
would you?
You can drive it, right?
Thank you, Matt. That's fantastic. Bye. Excellent. Good reference.
It's a long story.
No, I don't understand. How do you get in to drive the van somewhere?
Have you heard of cages and stuff? It's all locked in there.
Oh, I see. So it's so you've got like a so it is like it's like a police van.
Oh, sure.
It's so you have a padlock cage in the back of your van
and some duct tape and a selection of teddy bears and bags of candy.
Yeah. So
it's like a radio promo van. That's exactly what it is.
And
like.
I think it would be easier just to cut it off or go get some bolt cutters. It'd be nice to have those around the house.
Well, your life sucks. all right. So we will be taking suggestions today. Simply because we don't, because we got caught off guard. Sarah came in this morning at like 11 o'clock. Scotty turns 40. We have an hour. What are we going to do? And we came up with nothing.
That was the thought.
What we came up with. Well,
I want to find you a dancing girl.
Well, if we have a female listener who is perhaps willing to come in and engage in.
And shake your cakes for Scotty J.
Yes. See, you can say that. I can't. It would also be helpful if your butt did not have extra segments to it, as we've seen too many of those today already. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We are so behind.
Yes, we are.
We'll take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Later on, Bob Costantini, Nanette Sosa, Cannibal Watch, Job Watch, and Peter Carlin is going to be in the studio with us as well. And a fantastic announcement about Sarah Dillon. Stay there. We return after this. It's Rick Emerson, Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Are you getting married?
They can't disable the power of my label. Def Jam tells you who I am. The enemy's public. They really give a damn.
All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It is Monday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Presumably Clyde Lewis calling it at some point. Who's to say, though, really? You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Nanette Sosa, our new best friend, who is in, she's in Haifa today, man. She's in Israel. So we'll be talking to her later on. Bob Costantini, Peter Carlin, a TV critic for the Oregonian, apparently sworn enemy of Bill O'Reilly and author of the new book Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. He's going to be in the studio later on as well. It's 503-733-2970. It's also Scotty J's 40th birthday. Pleased to be wishing him a happy birthday when you call up. Later on, we'll be talking about what it is we can do for him.
And pleased to be finding him a dancing girl.
Yes. Well, that's you. By the way, I should specify that that's Sarah Dillon doing this. As Scotty's supervisor, it would be wrong and probably actionable of me.
You should have seen his eyes light up when I was telling him how we were trying to get him a stripper. That's a guy who needs a good lap dance. Come on now.
Okay.
I'm sure his wife.
I'm sure Mrs. J appreciates that.
His wife and children will be just fine with it.
Is this my new mommy? All right. Why do I have to live in a van? That's what the cage is for. Yes, also, he's locked out of his vehicle and everything he owns is inside, secured behind a padlock.
And he spilled coffee on himself.
Here's what I don't understand. And he spilled coffee on himself, and he's turning 40. Also, he's an intern. Here's what I don't understand.
Oh, what was so cute today? I saw Kristen, and she told me that Scotty came up to me. He's like, so, what can I expect to make from this radio game?
Kristen Bowie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did she snicker?
No, she's like, so what can I expect to make? Like 30, 40 a year?
Really? Did he really say that?
He really said that. It was so cute. We both just kind of went,
aw. Oh, that's so cute.
$30 or $40 isn't too much left.
Yeah, seriously. All right, learn to eat a lot of things that glow when they're cheese packety. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. I don't understand this, though, and we'll get to Clyde Lewis here in a second. We've got Steve, more news with Tim Riley. I don't understand. If you missed, we were talking to Scotty about how it's the best birthday ever for him because he forgot it. Not only did he forget his key here at work, and here at CBS Radio, we have these little, we wear these around our neck, these little electronic keys, these key cards, like kind of like you have at a hotel where you slide it in and out of the door. And you need these to get everywhere. Saturday, during the gymnasium, I happened to be here, and I left mine on my desk, and I walked out into the lobby, and the door shut behind me, and I realized I couldn't get anywhere. I was stuck in the lobby. I couldn't go anywhere without my key. And fortunately, Kristen happened to be here, and she buzzed me back into my office. But it's A, so they can track who's in the building and where you're going when, and also just for security purposes. But if you don't have this key, you are screwed. You cannot get anywhere during the, you know, at any time here.
Doesn't matter who you are. You could be Andy Rooney.
Exactly.
Katie Couric.
And so Scotty forgot that, and he's turning 40, and he poured coffee onto his white shirt. Also, he's locked out of his van. Also, everything he owns is in there. I don't understand, though.
And also, he's a 40-year-old unpaid intern.
That as well. I mean, we've all locked ourselves out of our car, but I don't, I mean, but usually it's like, well, your keys are in the ignition, you're not thinking about it, and your car either automatically locks.
Those of us who can afford to drive.
Or you just slam the door shut behind you, you know, and you go, oh, wait, I slammed the car door shut and the keys are in there. I don't understand how you, but he padlocked his van shut. Like, I don't understand how that worked. You know, that seems like a very premeditated, like, that's a few steps. You have to think that through to get the padlock to, you know, to lock everything up, to run the padlock through it, to turn it, to close it. It's all very confusing. Okay, well, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show with news at Ground Zero, our good friend Clyde Lewis joining us now. Hello, sir.
How y'all doing?
Hi, rolling, brother.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
What's up in your world, Clyde?
Well, it's not in my world that I'm worried about. It's Storm's world that I'm worried about.
Why is that?
I received an email regarding something that Storm had written about the mansion where they're staying.
This is Storm Large, who's on Rockstar Supernova.
Exactly,
right now.
And I did some research, and I found out that the place where she is staying, and I didn't realize this because it was called something else when I did when they talked about it. It was called...
Wait, hold on. Don't tell it. Let me guess. Indian burial ground.
No.
Manson murders.
Celebrity. Guy killed his family.
No.
Manson murders.
No.
So will somebody famous die in it?
Hate house.
Well, it used to be a nunnery. It was called the Paramour. It was the Paramore, and this is where I remember when I went to L.A. to do that pilot for the History Discovery or whatever.
It was like 6 months ago or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, they wanted me to do an investigation of this mansion, and they decided that it was they called it the Silver Lake Paramore, and they said you go to the Silver Lake Paramore and do this investigation as to why there is hauntings going on there. I didn't put two and two together because they called it something else. They called it like the Confeld Moreno.
Oh, this is like how in Friday the 13th they change it from Camp Crystal Lake to Camp Forest Green.
Exactly. So they changed the name of this. It used to be called the Paramore, and it was built in the 1920s. And what happened is it was a nunnery. It used to be a nunnery. And then some scandal went on there, the nunnery, and they turned it into a... school for wayward girls. But the nuns ran the school for wayward girls.
Oh, yeah, because that's going to get rid of your scandals. That'll make sure that nothing improper happens.
Exactly. So what happened is that the place turned out, a lot of people have recorded songs there. They filmed Halloween H2O there. They filmed House on Haunted Hill there with Vincent Price.
Excellent.
I mean, it's just got a lot of haunting in it. But there was an email that was sent to me that apparently Storm had said in one of her email, on one of her blogs, that her and Zaira, I guess, are like rooming together. Is that right?
I don't know.
I know her roommate got voted off, so that's probably likely.
They might be condensing it down, you know, consolidating.
And so her and Zaira are now rooming, and apparently Zaira and her both were awakened in the middle of the night, paralyzed in their beds, choking, trying to sit up, and they couldn't sit up, and I guess Storm was hearing these voices of all these girls like calling out her name and Zaira's name, and that there was a strange electrical sputter in the room, like she thought maybe...
Where did you read this? Okay, where did you read this?
It's somebody had sent me this blog of Storm writing this, and it said something that even J.D., it says there, it says that all weird and awful things have happened here. J.D., Marty, and Mig said that something had went on. I'm just looking it over right now. Apparently Storm calls Zaira Gata Peligrosa or something, and it says here... about 2:30 a.m. Sunday morning, before they were to tape something, she actually said that it was so scary she had to pray.
So, okay, well, Sarah's going to look up Storm, because we're talking to Storm later on today. So Sarah's looking up Storm's blog, so we're going to check that out. Well, that's kind of freaky.
Well, apparently the place is very haunted. It is called the Canfield Moreno Estate, but I know it as the Paramore Mansion, because I was supposed to investigate this mansion in Los Angeles when I was there. It's in the Silver Lake area.
Okay.
And it's haunted, and apparently all kinds of people...
We'll have to see if she can actually even talk about it, because Storm's... When we talk to her, there's always somebody from CBS television right there, and it's... I know that if it doesn't directly involve the stuff that happens on television, sometimes they tell her she can't talk about it.
Well, what you want to do is tell her... But I'm aware that that mansion is very, very, very haunted, and that was wondering if maybe there's any truth to the rumor that she had been pinned to her.
No, we'll totally ask
entity.
Her. I can't. She may or may not be able to answer because it's they whenever she's on, they're pretty much they really clamp down to make sure that it's nothing but pimping. So I'll ask her. There's no guarantee that she'll be able to answer, but we will. We're talking to her probably half an hour, so we'll ask her about that.
Let her know if there's anything, you know, if she needs me to do any research on the mansion, because I was researching the mansion before, but all I know about it is that it used to be a nunnery. It used to be a place for wayward girls, and apparently there was a lot of trouble that went on there. The girls were, like, you know, abused and things like that. And so what you may be hearing are those ghosts of the abuse of whatever's going on that went down in that mansion beforehand.
Excellent. That's so there's really something really appropriate about Storm and wayward girls. All right.
Something about that. But anyway,
What else is coming up in your world?
Well, in my world, some things are very interesting. We have the Ground Zero Infestation role-playing game that's going to be coming out soon. They're
Ground Zero Infestation, that sounds pleasant. Do you have to cut your hair and bathe in kerosene for that?
No. It's going to be a role-playing game they're going to be releasing.
Special little comb.
It's going to be featuring Aaron and Sadie and me basically trying to take on the world against zombies that are filled with alien contagion.
Okay.
Also, some other things are going on. Something called the Johor hominid, which is something that happened in Malaysia where somebody had taken pictures of these creatures that looked like Bigfoot, and they were distributing out on the internet. They were the most amazing things to look at. And I was studying this, and I thought, this can't be real. They're so clear, this can't be real. Turned out, it wasn't real. It was a hoax.
Oh.
And it was taken from some French book about primal man, but these were the coolest pictures, and I'm trying to find them because they took the website down, but they were the most amazing pictures about Bigfoot, and then there was some Bigfoot sighting that happened in Washington or something just recently. But what I'm getting at here is that right now there seems to be a lot of hoaxes that are coming down the pike.
Yes.
And then so we're on alert of these hoaxes. We're trying to reveal them, but it's really interesting the way people are trying to cash in on hoaxes and strange
things. Yes, it is.
And so but it happens all the time. But one thing that is the most important thing right now is this whole situation, whether or not this blog is real, whether or not Storm was actually being pinned to her bed by an entity, and whether or not Zaida was also pinned to her bed by an entity. I think Delana also complained.
Did the entity have short hair and a nose ring?
No.
Did they call her Mama a lot?
No, but Delana said that she was being strangled by this entity.
Yeah.
So they're actually being haunted in the mansion during this Rockstar Supernova, and I don't even think they're even releasing this to the public, but this mansion is really
cool. Well, we're gonna look into it, and later on, it looks like Sarah did track it down, so later on we'll read some of those blog entries.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
And, yeah, let her know that I'm on the case.
Excellent. And then you are speaking tonight at Dante's at 8 p.m.
Yeah, I'll be there at 8 p.m. tonight.
8 p.m. tonight, and then go to ClydeLewis.com to read all your articles here, Ground Zero, quick takes, and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
There you go. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Did you find Sarah Storm's blog entries?
I did.
Okay, so we'll go back to the city desk here. We'll read some of those in a while. Excellent. All right. Let's see. Hello, Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I had a suggestion for your Tom Cruise watch music.
Okay.
I hope no one came up with this because I listen to your show faithfully, but, you know, not 100% all the time. Did anyone suggest Surrey with a Fringe on Top from the Oklahoma soundtrack?
That's really funny, actually, you know, because as many Surrey with a Fringe on Top jokes as we've made, it never actually occurred to me to use the actual song. That's not a bad idea.
I have something that's even, like, too cool for the room. Do you have a moment to listen to it real quick?
What is it? What is this?
It's Marlene Dietrich singing it in German.
Okay.
Okay, here it goes.
Best show ever.
Here we go.
Weißes Glocken weben den Schleier, kalte Winde wehen vom Weiher, doch im Herzen brennt mir ein Feuer, weil ich dich nur sehe.
Where did you get that?
Can I tell you where I got it?
Why do you own this? Yes.
I don't own it. It's a sample off of the iTunes, but they have Mel Torme, they have Florence Henderson doing all these songs. I mean, it would be... You know, it classified under too cool for the room.
That's
kind of thing.
No, that's genius. I love the idea of Florence Henderson doing it. All right.
All right, well, have a good day, man.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye.
All right, bonus points for calling it the iTunes, by the way. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, listen to this. After waking up one night in sheets teeming with tiny bugs, Josh Benton couldn't sleep for months and kept a flashlight and a can of Raid with him in bed.
Teeming with tiny bugs.
We were afraid to even tell people about this at first, Benton said, about the bed bugs in his home. It feels like, well, maybe someday we'll be able to talk about this. People think you live in a bad neighborhood, have a dirty apartment. Absent from the United States for so long.
Now, when the people say bed bugs, is that one particular kind of bug, or is that a catch-all term for small little creatures that live inside your sheets?
Well, it says here, bed bugs are tiny, brownish, flattened insects that feed exclusively on the blood of animals and humans. Their bites may cause itchy red welts and swelling. In the past 4 years, reports of bed bugs have significantly increased from New York to Honolulu, especially in hotels, hospitals, and college dorms, all places with high resident turnover. The National Pest Management Association, which represents many of the country's pest control companies, say the number of bed bug reports have increased fivefold in the past 4 years.
Now, are bed bugs visible to the naked eye? Is that a thing that you're able, like if Sarah woke up in her bed and was covered in bed bugs, would she be able to see it, or would she just be itchy for no reason?
I'm not sure.
What? Give me
that
finger? I'm just asking. I'm
That's
just
a horrible thing to say.
I'm trying to. This is news you can use. What if you woke up and you were all itchy for no reason? Then you worry. See, like now, scratching yourself. No, but I mean, are bed bugs visible? Can you see them?
I suppose they are with a magnifying glass.
But I mean, if would you know that it was bed bugs, or would you just think that you were all chafy for no readily apparent reason?
That is a good reason. I've never witnessed this myself personally.
Okay, it's 503-733-2970. Rob, hello.
Yeah.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Bed bugs are everywhere.
What do you got?
You can't see them.
Bed bugs?
Bed bugs. You can see them.
How do you know this?
I'm one of the pest control guys. I listen to your show regularly.
You are? Oh, so you're like an Orkin man, but probably not for Orkin.
Nah, not for Orkin.
Okay. Who do you work for? You can give them a plug if you want.
Holt Pest Control.
Holt Pest Control. All right. And so this is...
KLT. Anyway, no, hey, bed bugs are everywhere. I mean, we
it's a national epidemic.
All right, please, just so everybody can be itchy together,
talk
a little bit about bed bugs and how they are everywhere, sir.
Oh, they're horrible. And I mean, if you're waking up with, actually, they don't itch. You don't even know that they've bitten you. They've evolved so that when they bite you, they don't cause you to itch. You just wake up with all these little sores on your back.
They've evolved. They developed stealth capability in an endoskeleton. And so this is, are you able, to, so you are able to see them. How big would you say a bed bug is?
Maybe about an eighth of an inch. Little flat, kind of cream-colored insects.
And so these are, when you say everywhere, these are in Portland? Are they in particular climates, or?
No. Portland, up and down the I-5 corridor, just like they said, hotels, motels. I mean, if you check into your favorite motel as you're doing your road trip.
Yeah.
Pull back the sheets. Live for little bugs in the tufts of the mattresses.
Oh, it's fantastic.
This is worse than global warming.
It's the worst.
Let me ask you this. What are the odds that the average house in Portland, let's say Sarah's house, what are the odds that the average bed in Portland has bed bugs?
I don't know what the odds are, but it's quite probable or possible that we would get a call to go out and do a bed bug job. Especially if you do a lot of traveling. Like if you're traveling, you know, back and forth, like Canada especially, has a real problem with them.
Now, what is it? Scotty is asking what to do if you see bed bugs. If you to pull back your bed, like if you're in a hotel room, you pull back the sheets. There's some bed bugs. What do you do?
Contact the authorities.
Get out.
What's that?
Get out
immediately.
You run.
Run.
Leave your belongings behind.
Leave your belongings behind. Get out. They're the worst, and they're really hard to get rid of.
I was going to ask what you do to get rid of, but you can't just vacuum them up, can you?
No. I mean, you have to use chemistry. The chemistry is the only way, and like a can of Raid, not going to do it.
Really? Because they probably develop some sort of a protection. Yeah, there's some sort of super bed bug at this point.
Yeah, no. They're just so deep in the mattresses, into the walls. They go into your books. They go in there everywhere.
And then they probably crawl deep into your skin, too.
They don't crawl in your skin, but I...
Well, not yet. That's the next evolution. That's the next mutation they're going to develop.
Anyway, it's a nasty thing.
All right, sir. Thank you for sharing with your bed bug expertise, Rob.
All right. Tim Riley is the best newsman ever.
Well, of course.
All right.
Where else would you learn about bed bugs?
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Bye.
All right. There you go.
Let's talk about things like
Rob, one of the many pest control people who listens to us. No, burrowing into your skin, that's going to be the next thing they do.
Well, it's news you can use.
It is true. Hey, by the way, speaking of skin, you should go to Sarah Dillon's webpage and look at the picture of Paris Hilton where her butt has extra pieces attached to it.
Those aren't bed bugs.
here's Tim Riley.
Time for a double cannibal watch.
Here's your double cannibal watch. Oh, is that? Did I give you both of these?
Yes, you did.
Hold on just a second before you play this.
Yes.
Give me this one now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a single cannibal watch.
Well, here's the thing. Tim had two. I printed out two cannibal stories. I meant to give one of them to Tim and to hold the other one back, and I inadvertently gave you both. So I've taken one of them back to me. You now have one. I have one. Now, you may think
this is kind of Indian cannibal watch giving.
You may think that that cannibal watches, by definition, are off-putting and disturbing.
Not
this,
all.
This one I'm holding in my hand. It really, really, there's sentences in here that even made me a little uneasy. I was reading them today.
So the one I have is for the whole family?
Yeah, no, that's more of a mass appeal.
It's more of a family-friendly cannibal watch.
Yes. That one's for
that
the children.
That you hear on the Love Station?
Yes. This one I'm holding in my hand, I'm going to have to ponder for a while. But in the meantime, let's go with Cannibal Watch, the first from Monday, right here in the Rick Emerson program.
So this is more of a positive cannibal watch.
It's sort of an up with cannibals kind of a thing.
So make us all feel a little bit better.
Okay.
Here we go. Police have detained a man who murdered an elderly movie director, disjointed his body, and made soup by boiling the victim's head.
This is the more pleasant of the
hope
two.
You gather the kids around for this. On July 30th, a plumber called police saying he had found large chunks of meat in the sewage and a block of flats in... Oh, this is northern Moscow. This makes
well,
sense.
Of course. Life is not just cheap there.
It's not just vodka.
No. Found large chunks of meat.
Uh-huh. I was cleaning a blockage and I saw lumps of human meat.
I was cleaning a blockage and I found what?
Lumps of human meat.
Human meat?
Lumps of human meat.
Well, I guess this is edible to some people.
Police
rushed to the scene, and bloody tracks led them to the door of Eugenie Zorin, who's 69. He was known for his documentaries dedicated to Russian outlands. He lived alone in his apartment, in peace with his neighbors.
In pieces with his neighbors.
Well, the police were contemplating the blood on the stairs.
Well, they were contemplating the blood. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
The man rushed out of the apartment and ran for the door.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The police detained him and ran him.
You will note I did not make the obligatory lady lumps joke.
His people's apartment was covered in blood, and a strange smell was coming from the kitchen where something was boiling in a saucepan.
The story never ends well. That story, let me just tell you
and
this
is the mild one. I wonder what that one is that you took
this
away.
This one I'm holding in my hand is worse.
Oh, I see.
Now, let me just tell you.
How could it possibly be worse than human meat?
Lumps while cleaning a blockage. Cleaning a blockage never ends well either, by the way. Let me just tell you this. Here's one of life's truisms, kids.
I mean, you're liable to find a whole village down there of Russians.
It takes a village. Any story that begins with, there was a strange smell and something boiling in a saucepan. Mm. That story always ends with shrunken heads on the bedposts of the guys.
People have to eat.
Yeah. Imagine how many bedbugs are in that house.
Well, on the kitchen table was a bowl of soup and a spoon.
Eat me.
In the fridge, at least the guy had a refrigerator, the police found a human heart and further inspection produced bloodstained instruments.
Oh, I've got a picture of the heart, by the way.
A small axe.
A small axe.
A saw and a knife the murderer used to cut the body in pieces.
What happened to the rest of it?
What do you mean?
Now, a lot of this has been edited by the Stasi, apparently.
Oh, I've taken out some paragraphs of dull police report stuff there.
Well, this fellow stabbed his host with a knife several times. When he disjointed the body, threw some parts away, flushed others down the toilet, kept the heart, and boiled the head to make
he's sort of a picky eater. Boiled the head. Now, I've got a picture of the heart right here. Who wants to see it?
Not me.
Okay.
Nobody.
Sissies. You know I'm going to get requests for it, too. It's right here.
Ironically, he's charged with murder. And scheduled to undergo a psychiatric analysis in the near future.
Okay, that's some wasted tax dollars right there.
That is.
Well, let's end this for now. Don't we have Nanette Sosa coming up in like 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah, probably right now.
So behind. All right, we should break now. There you go. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Nanette Sosa coming up from Israel. Later on, Bob Costantini, Peter Carlin. Don't go anywhere. Have a light snack. If you don't like it, you can't send it back. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more.